Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Self-Forgiveness Workbook, Mindfulness and Compassion Skills to Overcome Self-Blame and Find True Self-Acceptance, by Grant Dewar, PhD. Forward by Dr. Russ Harris. Narrated by Grant Cartwright. Forward. We all do things we regret. In challenging situations, we get tossed around by our thoughts and feelings, and pulled into self-defeating patterns of behavior, and we say and do things that hurt ourselves or hurt others, or both. And when that happens, we all naturally tend to blame ourselves. We may blame ourselves for what we did do, or what we didn't do, or both. The word blame comes from us from the ancient Latin word blasphemer, which means to revile. Of course, we also get the word blasphemy from this Latin root, which originally referred to reviling the name of God. The dictionary defines revile as to attack abusively, prompted by anger or hatred. Isn't that basically what self-blaming entails? We launch into harsh self-judgment and self-criticism, rebuking and judging ourselves repeatedly, furious at ourselves that we could have done this or allowed that. And all too often, that self-directed anger becomes self-hatred. But while self-blame comes naturally to all of us, it's not helpful. It doesn't help us learn from our mistakes, grow from our experiences, make amends, where that's possible, or contribute positively to the world. It keeps us stuck in a life-draining prison of our own making, and often plays a big role in depression, anxiety disorders, trauma-related disorders, addictions, and many other forms of psychological suffering. Our mind hooks us and drags us back into the past, reliving all the old hurts and wounds and the bad stuff, so we get to feel it over and over, getting more and more upset, angry, and miserable about what happened. Although this is normal, it doesn't help. All it does is suck the life out of us. The antidote to self-blame is self-forgiveness, which doesn't mean saying what happened didn't matter. Self-forgiveness means giving yourself freedom from the prison of self-blame so you can learn and grow from your mistakes, transgressions, failures, setbacks, and disappointments, and actively contribute to making the world a better place, moving forward. It's something you do not only for your own health and well-being, but also to benefit your loved ones, as your prison of self-blame also impacts negatively on them. Grant Dewar has written an excellent, practical, deeply compassionate workbook that will take you step by step through all the skills you need for self-forgiveness. As you make your way through this book, you will learn how to take the power and impact out of harsh self-judgment, open up to make room for painful feelings, disentangle yourself from painful memories, be kind and supportive to yourself, learn from the past, get in touch with your values, and take action to build a better life for yourself and your loved ones. You're in good hands, so appreciate the journey. Dr. Russ Harris, author of The Happiness Trap and When Life Hits Hard. Chapter 1. Be Present for Your Story. You have chosen this workbook to heal your relationship with yourself. Because you condemn or judge yourself harshly, you are seeking help to identify, make peace with, and possibly transform your pain. Your desire to escape from pain is understandable and universal. Painful feelings are your heart's way of crying out for relief. Your heart's call is asking you to brave the pain of your story, which tends to lead you into a maze of pain. So, naturally, entering that maze seems like a crazy thing to do. You may fear that you will encounter a monster there, but your attempts to escape from pain, distract your attention, or ignore the inner struggle leave your problem unresolved. There is a voice inside that tells you horrible things about yourself. This critical, judgmental, even cruel voice is telling you about a monster within. This voice is your inner critic. You think it speaks the truth, but consider this. What if your inner critic has produced this monster to guard your deepest pain? For so long, you have mistaken this voice for an ally and regarded the monster as an enemy. Your journey is to transform that critic into a kind, supportive voice. You can get that protective monster to work for you, not against you. Then you can reclaim your truth, your treasure, you, from the maze of pain. You feel called to do this because, in the center of the maze, your authentic self resides. Pain is hiding who you are. It is also your heart appealing to you, asking for your attention. Pain is therefore a call to action. If you listen and heed the call by telling your story, you can discover self-forgiveness and live beyond your story's pain. In this way, self-forgiveness is alchemy, transforming what seems worthless about you into the gold of your authentic self. This change requires courage and deep honesty. As you embark on this journey, I encourage you to have faith in yourself. That faith can be transformative as your hidden pain moves from suffering to meaning. The power of your story. This self-forgiveness journey is the story of discovering your authentic self. This self contains all your experience, all your possibility, and all that you encompass. You are not just a star or even a galaxy of stars, but a universe entirely of itself, so powerful beyond measure, and yet so vulnerable in this moment. At the core of all of our stories is survival in a bountiful but harsh universe, a seemingly ordered but actually random universe. As humans, we are beings who know our own thoughts, and that means we are storytellers. Human knowledge expresses itself in some form of storytelling that can be passed on. Even though many animals, including orcas, apes, chimpanzees, orangutans, and crows, can teach their offspring certain skills, tools, pathways, ways of hunting, food sources, and the difference between enemies and allies, humans are the only creatures that can reflect on this process of knowledge creation. We reflect through storytelling. We tell not only stories of facts, but also stories of fiction, myth, legend, and eulogies, which can move us more powerfully than mere fact. This power lies in the deep truths of metaphor and representations of emotional connection. Yet human knowing and storytelling is a double-edged sword. It is incredibly productive. One person can tell stories to billions of people, which can motivate them to action. But as we have experienced the age of media, printed, online, or through social media apps, we know that stories can also cause fear, division, strife, rivalry, and destruction. We have seen this side of its power exploited by business, by government, and by motivated and influential individuals. What comes to mind when you think about the power of storytelling? Blank. Does it make you feel nervous, empowered, strong, overwhelmed? Describe several feelings you have in response to storytelling. Blank. We shape what happens in our environment into stories to help us do a number of things. A story reduces the amount of unnecessary detail we need to remember. Without this summation, our brain circuitry would be overloaded. We need to be able to make sense of what happened. This process helps us respond and learn from those events. We need to be able to tell complex stories to others in simple, effective ways to get their assistance. In the huge amount of ongoing change in your environment, you need stories to help you find the best way to respond and navigate through change. Choose responses that work and provide outcomes you can manage. Learn, remember, and replicate those responses when you experience those challenges again. Find what works within the context of the challenges and circumstances you face, and be able to pass what you learn to those you love or care for, or who are part of your community. Storytelling informs your awareness of what is happening to you in the environment. Stories give you the shorthand version of events so you can make sense of how complex events fit into your worldview. Stories then help inform and formulate your responses. Let's explore your experience of stories a bit. In one sentence, describe an event or circumstance you recently experienced. Blank. Now, tell the story of that event or circumstance, including how it affected you, how you responded, what the outcome was, and what you will do if it happens again. Blank. Identify whether the story you told caused pain, seemed workable, went well. Stories can be painful, workable, or go well. A lot depends on the storytelling. Storytelling is also a double-edged sword on a personal level. On one hand, if your story reflects your circumstance accurately and is based on a useful understanding of the world and its workings, then responding in ways that will work out and benefit you becomes possible. On the other hand, if your story does not reflect your circumstances and you have misunderstood how or why something is currently happening, then your responses will be totally different and could harm you and others. For example, when you are arguing with your spouse, you might not hear their point as it is and what it means to them. Instead, you could be responding to a fight that is 10 years old. Fighting with your spouse as if they were your parent who belittled you as a teenager. Or your anger at the person who bumped into you is not justified because you mistook them for your school bully when, in fact, they are preoccupied looking for a lost child and did not see you. According to relational frame theory, humans make connections between seemingly random events. This ability is a powerful survival tool for learning and adaptation. Think about this example. Two people may attend a concert and after the event see a fight occur. One may see the fight as an extension of the excitement of the show because they are a risk taker. The other may be horrified and distressed because they want to feel safe and secure. Which person do you think will attend another concert? Most likely, it will be the risk taker. The person who seeks safety and security may stop attending concerts, even though they were not involved in the fight and loved the show. Think about a similar experience for you. Call to mind an incident that has long since passed, but is still affecting your decision-making and behavior in a way that might not be useful to you now. What was the incident? Blank. How did that experience impact or change your behavior? Perhaps you decided to confront people more often, or you isolated to avoid experiencing it again, or you decided something about the way the world works. In a journal or on a sheet of paper, write down how you responded to the incident. Blank. Overall, what is the lesson you learned from the incident? Blank. How has the lesson been useful? Blank. How has that lesson limited you? Blank. Is this change in behavior something you have hidden from others, or even yourself, until now? If so, write about why you wanted to hide it. Blank. What reflections do you have after answering these questions? Blank. You may have chosen a more mundane incident to describe for this exercise, or you may have chosen a painful one. But the story you choose shows how you can continue to live from a place of pain, even though the original incident that hurt you is far in the past. Pain from your past no longer serves its initial purpose. That is why self-forgiveness depends on being willing to contact and understand the pain you are still experiencing. Once pain is contacted and understood, you can navigate your complex experience of life challenges in better ways. Through storytelling, this workbook will take into account your life circumstances as it outlines effective responses. You will have a guide to examine and assess the responses you have taken to soothe pain, responses that you may regret or condemn yourself for. No matter how deep your self-blame, I want you to know that self-forgiveness is not only possible, it is both entirely natural and needed. It is the key to a thriving life. We need self-forgiveness because we discover our way through life by trial and error, like a baby learning to walk. A baby falls down a lot before they understand balance, weight shifts, and objects in their way. As we grow, we experiment with life and learn by our mistakes so that we can do it better next time. Healthy environments encourage us to do this. Even process of development in the sciences and engineering show the importance of making informed errors, testing things to destruction, entering into critical debates, and reviewing others' findings so new ways can be found, tested, and proven useful. I hope you can see how essential it is to make mistakes. Through our mistakes, missteps, and failures, we can learn and apply the skills of how to forgive ourselves. The impossible choices in your story. Humans tend to believe we have the power to control life's outcomes. Yet, we live in a complex universe where strange and unpredictable things happen constantly. This unpredictability can throw choices our way that may seem impossible to navigate. Impossible choices can show up as moral dilemmas. You may have experienced or be in the midst of a moral dilemma in a situation presenting choices or obligations that won't lead to an outcome that aligns with what you value. You must make a decision or act in some way to respond, but the only options open to you somehow violate what is important to you. These impossible dilemmas can leave you feeling hooked into responses you don't even want to consider. Such hooks are not as simple as a battle between the good choice and the evil choice. You may have to make a choice between two goods or the lesser of two evils. Here are some examples. When planning a busy weekend, do you disappoint family by turning down a dinner invitation, or do you disappoint friends by saying no to concert tickets? Do you take a job that requires a lot of travel, or do you turn it down and keep searching for one that will allow more at-home family time? Do you choose to work long hours for the income, or do you work less so you can be present at your children's events? Do you log fewer hours for a client and not do your best work in order to keep the project on budget? Do you take time to care for yourself, or do you spend time taking care of family? Say you have a business that supports a community of workers and customers, but your health is suffering. Do you accept an acquisition offer that will benefit you, but close the business? Do you stay in a relationship that does not meet your needs? You may have tried to work on things, but your partner is settled into how things are. Do you stay in the family home that everyone loves, but that you can barely afford to maintain? Do you continue to be the person who manages scarce finances while your partner spends without a plan? Each of these decisions leads to an outcome. They may leave you burdened in ways you did not expect. The choice to repair your relationship with a spouse may lead to disconnection with friends who become offended by your priorities. The job with travel may pay important bills, but you lose connection with family events where you are missed. You're missing that school concert may be something a child remembers for the rest of their life. You may experience personal and internal dilemmas when no one but you is hurt. You may have been offered an opportunity but turned it down. Now you regret not taking that risk. You may have wanted to ask someone on a date but not summoned the courage to approach them. You may have taken a safe job rather than pursued a business idea. Often there's no right or wrong answer. However, when you make a choice and take an action that ends in distress or disaster, it is possible to be hooked by that for life, unless you forgive yourself. Let's explore how you might be hooked by an impossible decision you made. Using the examples as inspiration, Describe a situation that required you to make a decision that hurt you or others in some way. Blank. What part of the story are you paying attention to most right now? Blank. In this moment, what thoughts, feelings, and physical sensations are arising? Thoughts: I had no idea what I was doing. Or, how could I have been so stupid? Blank. Feelings: anger, sadness, regret, hope, frustration. Blank. Physical sensations: tension in my shoulders, butterflies in my stomach, tightness in my chest, cramps, feeling cold or hot. Blank. Describe your sense of self in relationship to this decision. How do you regard yourself as a result? Blank. How have you been expressing your inner feelings about this choice? I say really nasty things to myself in the shower when I think about it. Or, I kicked a chair right afterward, and every time I think about it, my fists clench. Or, I have been complaining a lot at work about little things, but never mention what's really bothering me. Blank. Are you doing anything about this choice? What is your behavior? I am going along with the decision, but everything in me wants to run the other way. Or, trying to preserve my reputation requires me to tell little lies constantly. Blank. What is motivating you? In other words, what are the values beneath the impossible dilemma? I value independence, but I need this job. Or, I value integrity, but I must keep a professional appearance. Or, I value intimacy, but when I see my spouse, I feel like I've been punched in the gut. Blank. What is the context for this experience? It arises whenever I start to relax, like in the shower. Or, whenever I go near that photo gallery, our family portrait flashes before my eyes. Or, when I go near the cafe that used to be my favorite, I think of the disturbing conversation we had there. Blank. What relationship, family, community, and societal factors are affected by this choice? I can't go out dancing anymore. Or, I shifted from my group of friends. Or, I want to move to another state to get away from all these reminders. Blank. Your responses to burdens like the one you just explored may cause you pain. Please try to stay with it and with this workbook. When you turn toward pain-relieving behaviors, they can become their own obstacles to healing. Obsessive thinking, unremitting self-criticism, overwhelming shame, self-medicating with either prescription or non-prescription substances, avoidance, procrastination, affairs, risk-taking, and other self-harming behaviors might distance you from pain, but they also distance you from yourself. One of the most common responses to pain is to send a part of yourself into exile. Exiled from your story. We all experience deep pain from life events. A common response is to numb yourself to this experience so you can shut it out of your mind and get on with life. This response is a form of internal exile, in which you send key parts of your inner life and your identity to a remote, secret island within. You refuse to think about, for example, the dreams you had as a child or what you really want for your life. But your exiled inner self is chiseled in stone somewhere within you. When you have suppressed or rejected an important aspect of who you are, it will find a way to make its exile felt. Consider Lisette's experience. Lisette was a caring mother and a great co-worker. She was always the giver. When co-workers needed to leave early due to family emergencies, she would take on the extra time. She was the one preparing the last-minute side dishes when more people than anticipated showed up for family gatherings. Inside, she felt exhausted, and yet was conflicted by being exhausted. She refused to allow herself to rest because that would be selfish. The selfish part of her was screaming to be attended to, but Lisette refused to listen and pretended that part of her didn't exist. As a result, Lisette shut down and banished her own needs into exile. Like Lisette, is there a part of you screaming for attention while you refuse to listen? If so, let's explore how you might, at this moment, be an exile in your own life in some important way that might include various aspects of your life needs. Acknowledging your self-worth and quality of engagement with life. Nurturing your mental health and spiritual growth. Maintaining your physical health, nutrition, rest, and sleep. Managing your finances. Developing your career, work, business. Building relationships, family, and community connection. Write down your experience of a part of you that is exiled. It can help to name this part. For example, Lisette named it selfish. If you banished your dreams of becoming a musician, you might name it Allegro. Name of your banished part. Blank. Why you named it this. Blank. Describe how the pain of this exiled part affects you and your life. It may be pain from the original incident that made you banish this part of yourself, or the pain you experience recalling it right now. Sometimes my shame feels so suffocating that I don't want to leave the house. That stupid part of me that made bad decisions in my youth needs to stay hidden, so I always try to avoid the things that remind me of that time in my life. Blank. You are experiencing pain that will not go away, and only you know about it. If you are experiencing resistance to this exercise, ask yourself, who else can help me resolve it if I do not even disclose it to myself? I encourage you to write down any additional thoughts and feelings that arise when you think of the parts of yourself you have exiled. Blank. This self-disclosure is the beginning of your work to resolve pain and suffering. You can step outside automatic reactions to the strong memories, sensations, and emotions. All you need is the space for a respectful process of reflection, which this workbook provides. A space that can begin to tone down harsh, judgmental self-criticism. A space for developing a more useful perspective on yourself. Making room for your painful story. The stories that tend to influence us the most are accounts that reflect pain and suffering. In order to respond to those stories in a way that supports you, give them respectful and objective attention. A story is not a final truth. Instead, a story may help you uncover important formative events that may have influenced your approach to life, such as your attitude about managing money. While these approaches may have been protective in some ways, they may be limiting in others. For example, the way you manage money could have a deep impact on your estimate of your self-worth and deservingness of love. A story can have many different meanings and uses depending on the perspective you take. Consider Lani's story regarding her money monster. Lani's family had been refugees who lost everything. They had to rebuild their lives from nothing in a new land. So as she grew up, she watched her parents work long, hard, grinding hours to build a new life. They didn't have time for her or to enjoy much of anything. As a result, Lani hated making sacrifices for financial security. She had spent her young adulthood running from money management, even as she built a comfortable life as an engineer. When she was asked to put together a project budget and present it to the finance manager, Lani was paralyzed by feelings of shame. She felt like an imposter as she put together the budget. Her inner critic told her, "If the finance manager could see who I really am, she would laugh at my budget." By being able to observe her inner experience now, in the presence of a painful past story, Lani was able to give attention to her many inner layers. Let's follow Lani's story as you explore the inner monster you have been avoiding. Describe a situation where you feel stuck in a way that is unexpected, and perhaps seems unreasonable for the circumstances. Lani earns a good salary and pays her bills on time. She can manage money, but she feels so much
Sample complete. Ready to continue?